We saw in the Gemara. The Gemara asked the Kasha. The Mishnah told us, Misha Mesoi Mutal Lefonov. Misha Mesoi Mutal Lefonov, which translated is, if somebody's dead one, close family relative has passed away, Rachmana Litzlan, and is lying there, and the Lashon of the Mishnah is Mutal Lefonov, is placed in front of him. Under those circumstances, he is exempt from keeping mitzvahs. That's what we call an oinin. The Gemara's question was that we had a brisa, a lengthy brisa, where it spoke about eating. It says you should not eat in the presence of a mace. You should go to an alternative house, or if not, then you should put up a mechitza. And then it says you are exempt from all mitzvahs. Now, if the brisa has just told me you're supposed to be going lechatchila to somebody else's home, and you're exempt from all mitzvahs, you clearly see that the exemption from mitzvahs is not only if mesoi mutal lefonov, even if it is not lefonov, because this person has gone elsewhere, so that he shouldn't eat in the presence of a mace. And nonetheless, even though the mace is not mutal lefonov, but he's still exempt from mitzvahs. And that seems to be a big steerer to our Mishnah that says only if mesoi mutal lefonov. So the Gemara said two answers. Answer number one is that the brisa that says you're exempt from mitzvahs is indeed only referring to the case where he did not go to his friend's home, rather he stayed at home and he put up a mechitza. So at the end of the day, the mace is mutal lefonov. Second answer, and this is critical, let's have a look at the Gemara again. Go to Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. The first word on the line, Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi Omar, Kivan Shemutal Olov Lekoivroi, because it is incumbent on him, it is placed, Mutal literally means placed, because he is obligated, Mutal Olov Lekoivroi, to bury him, Kamutal Lefonov Dami. That is comparable to lying in front of him. Shenema vayokom Avram me'al pnei mesoi, v'nemar v'ekbar amesi milefonoi. Kol zman shemutal olov lekoivroi, kemutal lefonov domi. Now this is a very, very important principle, and we have to have it crystal clear because we're going to see a lengthy tosis over here that discusses this ba'arichus. Gemara is telling us that when the Mishnah says mutal lefonov, in the opinion of Rav Ashi, does not mean physically. Physically, the dead body is lying in front of him. What it means is the obligation to bury him is in front of him. Once you are obligated to bury the dead, it is considered as if the mace is right there in front of you, even though geographically that may not be the case. So therefore, even if you've gone to your friend's home in order to be able to have something to eat, but that's considered as if the mace is mutal lefonov. Why? By virtue of the fact that even though he's not physically with the mace, but his obligation tells us that he's chayev to be koiver, to bury the dead, and therefore we consider as if the mace is right there, and that therefore exempts him from all mitzvahs. Now, let's continue learning until the two dots. And then we'll come back to a very, very important tosfos. Says the Gemara, and this refers to a question that Nachum you asked last week. Mesoi, quote unquote, in, avol mashamroi loi. The Loshon of the Mishnah is, mi shem mesoi mutal lefonov. Mesoi means, we translated, his dead. His dead means it's a family member. So therefore, the diuk that one could be able to make is meisoi. If it is his personal family member, then in, yes, under those circumstances, indeed, there would be an exemption from mitzvahs because of the halacha of oinein, with the diuk being avol meshamroi loi. But if he was merely safeguarding the dead, as we know, the dead body, before being buried, has to be guarded. Somebody sits there looking after the mace. So therefore, the diuk from the Mishnah would be that you only have an exemption from mitzvahs if it is meisoi, his own personal dead. But if he happens just to be guarding a dead body, but it's not a relative's dead body, then l'chayra, the diuk would be that he is chayv the mitzvahs. And that's what the Gemara is saying. Meisoi in, it sounds like that it's only if it's his family relative that's passed away in. That's when the exemption would apply that we mentioned in the Mishnah. Avol meshamroi loi. But if he's merely guarding the dead, they're not. So how do we understand that? V'hotanya, but we have learned in a brisa. Hamashamer es hameis. If somebody is guarding the dead, afal pi she'enai meisoi, even though it's not his own mace, meaning it's not his own family member, nonetheless, potur mikriya shema, he is nonetheless exempt from kriya shema, or min hatfilah, or min hatfilin, or mikol mitzvahs or amurais b'torah. So here we have a brisa that clearly says that it does not have to be his dead. It could be any dead that he is in charge of. He is still torud b'dvar mitzvah. Says the Gemara, it's no contradiction. Is it this one or that one? The answer is, it's both. Meisoi afal pi she'enoi meshamroi, and meshamroi afal pi she'enoi meisoi. Those two, meshamroi afal pi she'enoi meisoi, and meisoi afal pi she'enoi meshamroi. So is it A or is it B? The answer is, it's both. Both the case of meisoi, even if you're not guarding the dead, or if you are guarding the dead, but it's not meisoi, either way you are preoccupied. Why are you preoccupied? Because if it's meisoi, then it's your obligation to get involved with the details of the kavura. If it's not meisoi, but you're busy guarding the dead, so either way, you're potter. So you don't need to be necessarily meisoi or meshamroi. Either one will do the trick.
Is seven is the meisoi defined as the seven krovim?
Yes.
Okay.
Says the Gemara. Okay, so either one, meisoi or meshamroi, you're telling me will be enough to exempt him from mitzvahs. Says the Gemara, meisoi or meshamroi in. Fine. So I admit, it's not only meisoi, it's either meisoi or meshamroi. But so far, it's only those two categories. Either if you are busy arranging the kavura, or you are busy guarding the dead. Either way, you are potter from mitzvahs, bedin oisik b'mitzvah, or torud b'dvar mitzvah. But it's only those two categories. Meisoi or meshamroi im. Avol mahalach b'beis hakvarais loi. But if you're merely walking in the Beis HaKvaris, if somebody just merely goes to visit, for example, one day, the Beis HaKvaris, then presumably lie. Then you will not have the exemption, because we've only learned Meisoi and Meshamroi, but no other categories. Therefore, if you merely go to the Beis HaKvaris, L'chayra, lie. You do not have an exemption, and this poses a problem. V'hotanya, we have learned in a brisa, loy yahalech odom bebeis hakvaris. A person should not go in the beis hakvaris. V'tfilin b'roishai, v'sefer Torah b'zrayai, v'koirei. What should you not do? A person should not go to the Beis HaKvaros with tefillin on his head or a Sefer Torah in his arms, v'koirei, and then reading the Sefer Torah. Why not? V'im oisa came, because if you do that, I'm afraid to tell you that what are you considered? Oiver mishum loyeg l'rosh. Loyeg l'rosh is a principle that we've discussed earlier on. Literally translated, you are mocking the poor. Just like if you have a poor person, you wouldn't flaunt your money because that would be considered showing off and making him feel bad. So too in the Beis HaKvaros, one does not flaunt the fact that you are alive and the dead isn't, by the fact that you can be Mekayim mitzvahs and he can't. I think we once mentioned this. That's why we are mak, when we go to a Beis HaKvaros, we in fact put our tzitzis away. Why do we put our tzitzis away? Because otherwise that will be loyeg l'rosh. You're flaunting the fact that we can be Mekayim the mitzvah of tzitzis and yet the dead cannot. So here too, you should not have tefillin on, or you shouldn't have a Sefer Torah, you should not be learning because of Loyeg L'Rosh. So what's the question? So here we have, as it says, if you do so, you are either Mishum Loyeg L'Rosh Cheref Oisehu. So either way, here we now seem to have a third category. Until this point, we had Mesoi, or we had Meshamroi, and all of a sudden, now we seem to have a third category. What's the third category? We seem to have somebody who is neither of the above, but he's in the Beis HaKvaros. And if he's in the Beis HaKvaros, that also exempts him from mitzvahs. That's why he shouldn't be wearing tefillin. So what's going on? Says the Gemara, no. Hosam toich arba amois huda osur. But chutz li'arba amos chayev, he's obligated to do mitzvahs. That category of hoylech b'beis hakvaros, as we just mentioned, is a completely different halacha. Somebody who is busy looking after his mace, or somebody who is busy being meshamer a mace, those two are the same exemption, your isek for mitzvah. Somebody who is a hoylech b'beis hakvaros, that's a completely different halacha. As we just mentioned, the reason there you're exempt is because you are loyeg l'rosh, and that's why it is only if you're standing in close proximity to the kever that you are exempt from mitzvahs. How close is close? Four amas. Why four amas? The omar mar, mace, a dead body, Toifes Dalad Amas, takes hold, as it were, of four Amas, Lekriya Shema. So therefore, with the case of going to a Beis HaKvaros, it is not a general exemption. It is a very specific exemption for somebody standing in close proximity to the Keva. How close is that? Within four Amas. And the reason why you're exempt is because that is considered mocking the dead if you're Mekayim mitzvahs. Whereas, says the Gemara in conclusion, ha-ha, but over here, with regard to the person looking after his mace, or one dealing with the kavura of the mace, ha-ha, chutz ledalad amas, nami potter. Even if you are not within four amas of the dead, as we said before, even if you've switched, you've gone to your friend's home, you're nowhere near the dead, but you're still exempt. So it turns out, in conclusion, before we now launch into the big Tosfos, let's just briefly sum up what we've learned. Halacha number one, that Meisoi Mutal Lefonov does not necessarily only mean geographically lying in front of him. It means if the obligation to bury the dead is on you, then you're potter from mitzvahs, which, by the way, will immediately trigger the question, what happens if it is a close relative, but for whatever reason, the obligation to bury him does not fall on me? Why would that be? For example, there's other relatives dealing with it, or other cases that Tosis will discuss. We'll see soon. That's halacha number one. Again, if it is obligation on you to bury the dead, you are potter. Halacha, let's call it 1A and 1B. If it is not necessarily your family relative and you are not charged with burying the dead, but you're protecting, you're guarding the mace, then you're also exempt. Why we call that 1A and 1B? Because even though it's two cases, but it's the same ptur, either way, you are busy taking care of the needs of the dead. Case number two was an altogether different case. If somebody is walking in the Beis HaKvaros, he's not busy with the dead. We're not talking about the case in the Mishnah where somebody's at the Levaya carrying the dead. He's just gone for the day to visit the Beis HaKvaros. So therefore, there is no exemption there because of Oisik B'mitzvah. You're not Oisik in any mitzvah. So there's a completely different halacha. And that is if you are in close proximity to the kever, it is considered mocking the dead if you're busy saying Kriya Shema right next to the kever. But the minute you distance yourself more than four amos, then you are certainly obligated to be Mekai mitzvahs. Whereas the Oisik B'mitzvah, it is totally irrelevant where he's standing. Those are the three cases, 1A and 1B and case two.
Would the same apply for tzitzis as long as you're four amos from the kever? In theory, you could have your tzitzis.
Yeah, quite right. Okay. With that now, let's launch into a lengthy Tosfos. We'll see how much we can learn today, and the rest, Be'ez Hashem, will finish tomorrow. Have a look, before we see the Tosfos, at the bottom of the Omud and Daf Yud Zayin Omud Beis. Have a look first at the bottom two Rashis. We were Medayek Rashi when we learned them. Rashi says, with regard to the person who is eating in the presence of, or in a different home, he's an oinim. Says Rashi, ve'einoi mevorech, einoi tzorech levorech. Rashi is telling you a tremendous chiddush. We might not necessarily have learned the Gemara this way. Einoi mevorech, if you look again in the last Rashi on the Omid again, now, without Rashi, we might well have learned, and we're soon going to see that Tosfos does learn like this, that Eino Mevorech means he must not bench. Rashi says he need not bench. He does not need to bench. He does not need to make brachas, which definitely sounds like, if he wants to, he may. If you translate literally, Eino Mevorech means he does not make brachas, period, and it sounds like it's not an option. But if Rashi says, Eino Tzorech sounds very, very different. And if that's the case, if you so choose that you do want to, then it sounds like you would be allowed to make brachas. That would seem to be the obvious diuk from Rashi. That's what it sounds like in Rashi. So have a look now at the bottom Tosfos, and we'll see that this, in fact, is the diuk of Tosfos. Says Tosfos, ve'einoi mevorech. Pirush Rashi, he quotes Rashi as saying, einoi zokuk levorech. Even though our Rashi says, einoi tzorech levorech, but it's the same thing, einoi Zokuk Levorech means he need not necessarily make a bracha. He doesn't have to make a bracha. Umashma, says Tosfos, mitoich pirushay. The implication is she'imrotza Levorech rashoi. The implication is that even though he's not obligated to do so, But if he chooses, if he wants to, Rashoi, he would be allowed. That L'chaira is the inescapable diuk that one has to make from Rashi. If Rashi says that you don't have to make a bracha, then clearly Rashi is teaching you that you can if you may, if you want. Says Tosfos Miu. However, b'Yerushalmi ka'omar. But in the Yerushalmi it says, im rotzo lahachmir ein shoymin loy. Tosfos says, what should I tell you? In the Gemara Yerushalmi it says, if you want to be machmir, ein shoymin loy, we do not listen to him, which sounds like that you do not have the option. So I'm very sorry to tell you, says Tosfos, that which Rashi says that you don't have to make a bracha, with the implication being that you can if you want, but Yerushalmi seems to indicate the opposite. Ein shoymin loy. We do not listen to him. You want to be machmir? Sorry, it's not optional. And therefore, lekach nira, it would therefore appear to me, says Tosfos, that einoy mevorech, quote unquote, means einoy rashoi levorech. Not like Rashi, who translated einoy mevorech as you don't need to bench, or you don't need to make a bracha. But I would translate, says Tosfos, in light of the Yerushalmi, einoy mevorech means you're not allowed to make a bracha. Now, why exactly are you not allowed to make a bracha? What is this exemption all about? Says Tosfos, Umafarish b'Yerushalmi lama. Yerushalmi indeed asks the question itself, lama, why indeed is that the case that you are exempt from mitzvahs? V'ka'omar, and the Yerushalmi responds and gives two explanations. Number one, mipnei kvoidai shel meis, because of kavoid for the mace. It is not kavoid for you to be involved with mitzvahs at the time when the dead body needs to be dealt with. So it's because of dignity of the dead body. Inami, alternatively, says Yerushalmi, do you know why you're exempt? Mipnei, because she'em loy mi she'yissa masa oy, because there is nobody to bear the burden. There is nobody to bear the burden. Which burden? Clearly, the burden of burying the dead. So the Yerushalmi is giving me two separate reasons, and we have to be very, very clear in these two reasons, because we'll see there's big differences. Reason number one, why you exempt from mitzvahs, is because of kavod hames. The very fact that the mace is there, waiting to be buried, it's not kavod if his family members now get involved in other things. This is a priority. And it's considered non-dignity to the mace if you go off and do your own thing, even though it's a mitzvah, because it, as it were, sends a message to the mace that the mace is not so important. Second reason is not because of dignity, because there is nobody else to bear the burden. Remember, we're talking about mesoi. It's a close family member, and therefore the reason why you're exempt is not because of dignity to the mace, but rather because of a practical cheshbon, and that is, if you do mitzvahs, what's going to happen to this poor mace? He's not going to be buried in time. So it's a practical issue. It's not because of kavod hames. Rather, it's because of who is going to bear the burden. After all, you're the family member. And if he's the family member, that should be what you're involved in. Those are the two reasons. Says the Gemara, this is Tosfos quoting now the Yerushalmi, Uporich. And the Gemara Yerushalmi asks, V'hotanya, but surely we've learned in a Braisa, Potur minatilas lulav. It says, we have a braisa that says that an oinein is exempt not only from brachas, but also from natilas lulav. Now, when is that a reference to? The kosal kedato chanahava mina was demairi beyontev. The Havamina was exempt from lulav means when? On the first day of Sukkos. One moment. On the first day of Sukkos, you don't bury anybody. Uboy, says Toisves. Uboy, on it. What does on it mean? On Yom Tov, Enoi, Torud, Lissa, Masoi. He is not preoccupied bearing his burden. You don't do a kvura on Yom Tov. So what is the Gemara meaning to ask? If the reason is because of Kovoid Hameis, so therefore, even though today Yom Tov is not a day in which you bury the dead, it's still not considered Kovoid Hameis to be involved with mitzvahs. But if it's a practical cheshbon, you've got to be involved with the kvura and not with mitzvahs, well, that can only apply on a day where you're busy with the kvura, but not on Yom Tov. So if the braisa says you're exempt from lulav, which initially we understood to mean on Yom Tov, what's going on? Nobody's bearing the burden of kvura on Yom Tov. Says Tosas in the name of the Yerushalmi, Umashani, and the Yerushalmi answers, Tiposer, interpret this, b'chol. In a weekday, what does it mean? In a weekday, Pirish, b'chol yishomayid. Yom Tov is not the only day that we take lulav. We take lulav the entire Chol HaMoed. And on Chol HaMoed, certainly you can do a kavura. So then it would make perfect sense to say you're exempt from Natilas Lulav. Not only does the reason of Kovod HaMeis apply, but also the reason of Yisom Masoi, of bearing the burden. By the way, I can move my camera around. Am I facing the camera at the moment? Is it okay? Should I move it? Am I not?
You're fine. You're facing the camera.
I am? Okay, because my picture looks a bit of an angle. Okay.
Well, you look like you're sitting a little bit at an angle, but you're right in the, but you're, yeah, that's better.
Yeah,
now you're straight on. Now you're straight on facing the camera.
Okay, fine. So we can know what it means, we understand what it means that you're potter from lulav. What does it mean you're potter from lulav? Not only on Yom Tov, on Chol HaMoed. On Chol HaMoed, when you should be involved with the dead, that is a day for the kvura. So therefore, you have the halachos of Oisik B'mitzvah. Zok Tosfos Vayta, V'hotanya, this is all a quote from Yerushalmi. V'hotanya, potter mikriyas, Mitkias Shofar. The braisa says not only are you exempt from lulav, but you're exempt also from Tkias Shofar. Now, Tkias Shofar, we're going to get stuck. Why? Because Tkias Shofar is only on Rosh Hashanah, only on Yom Tov. Is Loch Lameima, can you say that it's Bechoil Veloy B'Yom Tov? B'Tmiah? Question mark. When it came to Natilas Lulav, you managed to squirm out. How did you squirm out? Because you managed to say that, don't worry, we're not talking about Yom Tov. What are we talking about? We're talking about Chol HaMoed. Fine, that's all fine and well. But when we're dealing with the case of Shofar, then surely Shofar has to be talking about Yom Tov. That's the question. And if it's talking about Yom Tov, you only blow the Shofar on Yom Tov and Rosh Hashanah. And there is no Kvura on Yom Tov, so we're back to square one. Why is he exempt from Shofar? How can you tell me? Because there's nobody else to bear the burden. Bear the burden of what? Nobody's bearing anybody in Rosh Hashanah.
But Chodesh Elul, your tokeya.
Yeah, but that's only a minhag. That's not a mitzvah. Umashani, and the Gemara answers, Omer Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina explains, Mikiven Shehu Zokuk. Because he is required, Zokuk means required. Because he is required, Lahochin Loy Oroin, to prepare the coffin, the Tachrichin and the shrouds, Kedatnan. As we have a Mishnah telling us at the end of Masechta Shabbos, Machshichin al hatchum lahovi loy oroin v'tachrichin. We know that you're not allowed on Shabbos to prepare in any way for Motzah Shabbos. We don't do hachana. If you want to wash up the dirty dishes, do so on Motzah Shabbos, don't do so on Shabbos afternoon. So too, imagine you want to go, this is the example of the Gemara, you want to go to the bathhouse on Motzah Shabbos. The bathhouse, the merchatz, is outside of the tchum. So obviously you can't walk there on Shabbos, but he wants to be the first one in. So he walks to the edge of the tchum, such that when it becomes Motzah Shabbos, he'll be right there and he'll be able to then walk out of the town to the merchatz. Says the Gemara in Shabbos, you're not allowed to do that. Why? Because that is hachana. Why are you walking to the edge of the tchum? In order to prepare yourself for Motzah Shabbos activities. However, you are allowed to walk and prepare for Motzah Shabbos mitzvah activities. So I can't prepare for going to the merchatz. That's not a mitzvah. But that's what the Mishnah means, machshichin al hatchum. Machshichin is from the word choshech. If you want to wait until the dark, al hatchum, right to the edge of the tchum, why? Lahavi loy oroin v'tachrichim, in order to bring a coffin or shrouds. Somebody has passed away, you need to get involved in the kvura, and for some reason, the only oroin and tachrichim which are available are outside of the tchum. So I can't leave the tchum on Shabbos, but I certainly can walk to the edge of the tchum so that at the minute Shabbos goes out, I'll be right there ready to leave. So what do you see from that Mishnah? You see from that Mishnah that even though we're talking about Shabbos, and Shabbos is not a day that you bury the dead, but one is still involved with the dead, even on Shabbos. Which aspect? Not the actual burial, but arranging the oroin, arranging the tachrichim. You see that you're allowed to do that on Shabbos. Therefore, says Tosfos on the fourth wide line, k'moi shehu noisei masoi domi. So it is as if he is bearing the burden of the kavura. What was the Gemara's Yerushalmi's question? Why are you exempt from Shofar on Rosh Hashanah? What on earth is there to do on Rosh Hashanah for the Kavura? You're not busy with the dead. And the answer is, you are. What are you busy doing? Even though you can't bury the dead on Rosh Hashanah, but you can and you must arrange the Oroin and the Tachrichim. So therefore, we now understand somebody who's an oinin is potter from lulav, is potter from shofar, even on Yom Tov, because although you cannot be involved with the actual kavura on Yom Tov, but you can and you must be involved in the preparation work for the kavura, which is arranging the orein and the tachrichim. Says Tosfos, Alma Mashma. So we see, having quoted the whole Gemara Yerushalmi now, we see the implication is, whether it be Shabbos or whether it be Yom Tov, not that you don't need to, like Rashi suggested, but rather you are not permitted to make a bracha or to daven. Why? The torod lahachshich loy alatchum, because he is preoccupied. Perhaps with walking to the end of the town, right to the end of the tchum, lahavi oroin v'tachrichim, to bring a coffin and tachrichim. So if that's what you're obligated to do, how can you possibly turn around and say, no, I think I'd rather not exercise my exemption and I'm going to shake lulav, or I'm going to blow the shofar. No, you're not allowed to. Why not? Because your job is to make sure the Oren and the Tachrichim are arranged, even if it means walking to the other end of the town. You can't leave the town, but you could be at the edge of the Tchum. Therefore, says Tosfos, my position is you are not allowed to be Machmir, and even on a day like Shabbos and Yom Tov, where you can't be involved in the actual burial, but because all the preparation work can be done, you are still exempt from mitzvahs. Okay, so hold on a bit. Yeah.
The question on Tosfos, is Tosfos proving more against Rashi right now, or is he trying to figure out which reason in the Yerushalmi of the two is the real answer?
No, he's just proven that even according to the reason of bearing the burden, but it's not optional, it's an absolute issa to do mitzvahs.
So he's still holding that there are two reasons.
Tosis is for the moment saying that even according to the second reason, there is no such thing as I'd rather not be exempt because your chiv is to bear the burden. Which burden? There is no burden on Shabbos or Yom Tov. The answer is yes, there is. So we have an enormous machloikas. We'll have to see Be'ezus Hashem at the end of Tosis how he paskin on all of this. What is the position of an oinin? He's certainly exempt. No question about that. Is it optional? Or is it obligatory that he's not Makayim mitzvahs? We have a big machlokes. Rashi says, Einoi tzarech. And Tosfos says, Einoi rasha'i, is not permitted. So Be'ezus Hashem, tomorrow we'll continue the Tosfos. We'll try and get to the end. And then we'll see in Shulchan Aruch. And then we'll see Be'ezus Hashem the rest of the Gemara.
Shukoach.